Hey everyone, we are back in the Indie Creator Studio. I am Alondo Brewington of Coco Nomad Studio LLC.
And I am Raheem Snow of Remembrance Studio and Studio Snow.
And today we are going to talk about context switching. So I guess if we want to start off, for those who don't know, sort of setting the table here, that context switching is this idea in computing when your computer's working on one task using application and then it has to switch applications. It has to do a bit of work of like loading memory and moving some files off the hard drive to load up the new thing. So there is work in transitioning into new work or different work. And so we have this same thing happening in our lives in which we are saying, I'm working maybe on a client project, which I am, and then I have to switch to one of my creative projects, or some other personal thing is getting my time, energy, and attention. And we have to manage this. So I wanted to kind of dive in here and explore with you today, Raheem, how do you handle that context switching on the day-to-day basis as a creator?
So really good topic, really good question. And I think it goes to the heart of trying to do any of this. And for one thing, it's good to be aware that these are two different contexts, that, you know, your work context, the work that you do that pays the bills is one context. The work that you do that is new work or experimental or a second business that you're trying to get off the ground, your side work and your side projects and things like that, that's another context. And then if you've got a family life, if you've got a house and things that you need to take care of, an extended kind of network of family and friends that you're part of their community, you're part of their support network and things like that, that is a yet another context. So all of these things will need your time and attention. And some of them cannot be scheduled. Some of them pop up all of a sudden, not necessarily like a 911 emergency, but definitely like you need to pay attention to this right now and take care of it. And being able to switch between these different contexts is a muscle and a skill and something, good to have in your kind of tool belt, so that you don't feel like you just want to be focused on one thing and everything else is like an interruption, or it's taking away from your creativity or something like that. Does that sound?
Yeah, it does. And so I think about this because I found that, especially in the most recent years, as I'm working more and more towards creating this different life for myself and prioritizing my projects above my client projects, it's sort of defending the time for those, because the context switch is expensive. If I am trying to get started into writing something or creating some software on my own or some other endeavor, even recording this, like doing something like this, there's a bit of work in setting up the lighting and getting the camera and having an outline and opening up particular pieces of software that are different than the software that I was using for the previous thing that I was working on. I don't have the most robust laptop in the world, so I can't have 100 Chrome tabs open because the fan will start going and things will stop working. So I have to be mindful of that resource management in addition to my time, energy, and attention. The energy is another one. I am a person that gets very drained after interactions. Whether it's a recording like this or like this past week, I did a lot more social stuff than I normally do. Mm-hmm. And it was very, very draining. And then it has an effect when I switch from those social activities to a new context of going back to work and working on those other projects. It's like, how do I manage my time, energy, and attention? And I think one of the ways recently that I've been doing that is that I really am focusing on protecting those spaces and only allocating so much. So basically predefining like how much space or resource I'm going to allocate to doing a certain thing. So for instance, this week, I had a friend that said they were coming into town. I actually have two, and they were talking about getting together. And I realized it's like, I only have enough bandwidth to do so much socializing. So versus last week where I went out three nights last week, I may only do one and I may not do any nights out. It may just be like, look, I can come to brunch on Sunday. That's it. That's all I have the resources for. It's all I have the time, energy, and attention for. So that looks like that. And what I'm like continually working on though is even within those projects that are my own on a day-to-day basis, managing, because a lot of these aren't rigidly scheduled. Like, okay, I know I need to create this new website. And I have an entire week. So this is like Parkinson's law. And at some point we'll do an episode on the productivity of physics, productivity physics. But like this entire space, I can fill it. The reality is I don't have all the time that I see because other things are going to come in and I have other things that I want to get done. So blocking those times in and then honoring the block, I think is a big one for me. Is to say, I've allocated these 2 hours. Now I need to honor the commitment to my past self that said, I want to do this thing in this 2 hour segment. It's time to get in here.
That's right.
And I try to be flexible with some things. Like for instance, I was just reading an article by Nir Eyal on his site about the difference between a habit and a routine. Mm-hmm. And I really liked the distinction being that the difference in one and the other is that the habit is something you do automatically without thinking and a routine isn't. You still have to bring some computational capacity to that when you're doing the thing. Mm-hmm. And I kind of took it a step further too, because I look at sort of like habits, even temporally, like you do something at the same time all the time. Maybe for mm-hmm. me, it's like a habit. And it made me realize I don't have a workout habit. Like I don't have a workout habit. I have an exercise habit. Every day I habitually get exercise in, mostly by just walking. Mm-hmm. I have exercise routines, but I don't do them. I don't do the same one every day, and I have flexibility, and it helps me for a couple of reasons. I want that variety, but in terms of the context, which I still have to go through all of those things in preparing, right? I've got to put on the workout clothes. I've got to get the app ready that I'm going to use. I've got to go to the right space, which is one of the reasons why I don't do gyms anymore. Like I've tried it briefly here. And even though it had the benefit of camaraderie and like I can have someone hold the focus mitts for me and I can train with other people with sparring, the downside is it takes a lot of effort to get to that location. Like it's 20 minutes away by a 25 minute walk. Mm-hmm. And I don't own a bike, nor am I interested in buying one. So like, I am a person that's like, I'm big on walking. My walking is another thing that I do. So I can just walk to the workspace and get 20 minutes of that exercise. And that context, which is kind of baked in, because as I'm walking there, I'm sort of getting myself mentally repaired. So that's sort of like, I know that I went the long circuitous route to talk about that a bit, but that's where it is.
Yeah. And I think, you know, kind of knowing that every time you switch contexts, there is this prep time, there is this setup and you got to get all the right things ready. Knowing that the transition is coming definitely helps, you know, so that you know that when you're doing your work, if you get to a stopping point and you got 10 minutes left, you might as well stop and let your brain adjust to the new context rather than working all the way up to the very last second and then like doing a lightning switch to the next context. It's probably not going to be, it's not going to feel good. You know, feel like you've kind of been stopped, interrupted. You're not really ready for the next thing and so on. And, you know, I find myself sometimes doing that where, you know, I work till the last moment and then I'm scrambling, you know, say the family's going out for a walk and they're going out at 4 p.m. Okay. So I'll work all the way to 3:59. They're already ready with shoes on and everything. And I'm just like, wait, I got to get my stuff on. And they're like, all right, see you outside, you know? So I'm just like, why do I keep doing this? Like, why do I not build in transition time? Because it's helpful because it would help me relax.
Yes.
And actually enjoy the context switch rather than freaking out that there's a context switch happening, you know?
Actually, you know, so I want to just remark on this because I noticed that you did this in a meeting that we had last week. And just for anybody who's watching, we are accountability partners as well. So we're sharing sort of like, you're getting an inside baseball view as we talk about these things. But I had a meeting after our meeting and you said, do you want to just wrap up now and take 10 minutes? Because, you know, you have the call. That was with my coaching, with my coach. Mm-hmm. And it didn't even occur to me because, like you, I'm so used to doing the quick switch.
Yeah.
Because in our careers, we were so used to, as developers, getting interrupted and having to switch. Like, I'm coding up until the status meeting. And then yes. I've got to jump, grab my stuff, and go into the meeting room.
Yes.
And we spent so much time doing that, that it was like, I had gotten used to it. It had gotten to the point that even in jobs, I would leave a job on Friday, last day, start a new job on Monday. And I'm like, that content, it's like, whoa, give it some space and give it some room to breathe.
It's almost like that day or two of income loss is unsustainable, you know? And like, how do we even get to this point? Like, you know, I am definitely guilty of like not taking vacations and working on client work and the nights and weekends and things like that. So there is like very little context change happening. So I'm like constantly, you know, in work mode. And I don't think that's been very good for my health, for my family time, for my, you know, my creativity. Like, nothing. You need downtime. You need time to not be thinking about the next thing that you need to be doing, you know?
Yes.
And so I think it helps to build in a buffer between, like you said, these different contexts, whether it's meeting one and meeting two, whether it's day one or day two, job one or job two, and so on. It takes an emotional toll that we often don't recognize. And it, you know, and when we finally stop doing it and we finally take the time, you know, it helps us realize that we are not human doings, we're human beings.
Oh, yeah.
And then that just being is a very powerful thing because it goes to the core of who we are. And, you know, people know this, you know, like people who go fishing know this on a visceral level where they're, you know, people are, you know, they got their rod and their, you know, tackle and all of this stuff and the bait and all this and the whole box full of all the things that they need. And they go out on the boat and they just sit there for hours. And, you know, and people think that their goal is to catch a lot of fish, but actually that's not why they're there. Alondo, why are they there?
So there's a popular phrase in fishing that we say, it's like, someone, you come home and it's like, did you catch anything? It's like, no, today wasn't a catching day. Today was a fishing day. And so I've done lots of trips where you just get out on the boat or go to the pier. So my family in North Carolina is really big on these coastal trips to go pier fishing. And they drive out, and I've done these trips with them before. And it's like, you just like get up super early in the morning and you just sit on the pier and you just cast these lines and you just sit. There's not a lot of conversation. You know, it's not a lot of activity. Now, when I was younger, being a young person, it's like, okay, go run up and down the pier, go down to the beach or do something, because like, yeah, there just isn't anything going on. Right. I learned to appreciate it later that, oh, that's what this is. And like some lake fishing, a friend took me on. We just sat on the lake for hours.
That's right.
And even between the two of us, not a lot of conversation. And it was something, like you said, so visceral and so valuable about just the stillness and the quiet. And ironically, when you get a bite, it actually is an interruption because you're kind of like, oh, wait, yeah, I forgot I've got a pole out here. Let's pull this in, you know. So there's something very therapeutic about it. And I think just having that stillness and having that built in. I did want to circle back on something that when you talk about this, I love the idea of building in sort of ramp down and ramp up time in between these things. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about like the interruptions, because I've seen this happen recently where you've had something that you wanted to do and then like dealing with, how do you mitigate or at least, I don't know, process the inevitable instant interruptions that are that have been happening into the things that you've been doing that force that radical. It's almost like your app your app shuts down and gets booted out of memory. And yes. Then like this new one has to load up.
Yes. In earlier years, I used to think of the interruptions as annoyances, nuisances, inconveniences. And I have recently kind of switched my understanding of them and now think of them as friends rather than these annoyances that come. And I think having a more gracious response to interruptions and all of these things has been very helpful for me to not feel like, you know, I'm always being interrupted or I'm running out of time or, you know, why can't I just sit for several hours and do this? And it's because I'm in community.
Okay.
You know, I'm not isolated. I'm in community with other people. I had a friend last week that I hadn't heard from in a while. And, you know, I had, you know, some things on my to-do agenda for that day. And he sent me a message and he said, you know, I need help finding a lawyer. And I've got something going on and, you know, I need to talk to somebody professional, get some legal advice. And, you know, that kind of initially would have thrown me and would have said, oh man, okay, this sounds like a mini project, you know, to like help somebody find an attorney. But it was just like, it's an opportunity. It's an invitation. It's a blessing that somebody thought of you in time of crisis and said, you know, he might know somebody, he might be able to help. And so I had to kind of reframe that as, you know, not as some, this extra task got put on my plate all of a sudden, but, you know, I need to be a good friend and approach this as a friend. And this is a friend coming to me. And so I've had to kind of just see that as little friendly waves that come in and out,
yeah,
rather than interruptions. And that's kind of helped me reframe a lot of things, you know. I've got kids doing virtual school right now. You know, sometimes the internet does some weird stuff. They can't get to their website or whatever. I got to go figure out what's happening. So it's just a friendly little wave. You know, I get to go hug my kids for, you know, a few minutes and I can kind of fix whatever's going on, reboot the computer, refresh the browser, clear the cache, whatever I need to do. Let's re-log in to see if it clears something up. Yeah, absolutely. But I get to hug them. I get to, you know, put my arm around them while I like, you know, tinker on their computer. That's a nice and loving thing to experience. And so it wasn't an interruption. It was, you know, I don't know if we have good words for it right now, but it was just a nice little moment of community and family.
I love the reframing of that. I think it's important to, like, a lot of times, like, we have these aphorisms, like, you know, it's like about your attitude towards things versus the actual thing that's happening kind of thing. Yeah. But to hear you, like, in practice, which is, like, I think is important. It's like, how do you actually practice the aphorism? Like, how do you live the lyrics to that song, you know, that's being played, that everybody likes to, like, repeat? And it's really good and refreshing to hear that you found a way to reframe those interactions. So now you've taken the power away of it having like control, because it could just sit with you being frustrated and muttering to yourself, you know, and that's affecting your work going forward. So it's taking that away. It's like, no, this is what this is. Let me recontextualize this. And now I'm free and it's lighter and you can move forward.
Exactly. And it does get lighter. It gets way lighter. And guess what? The context switch back, mm-hmm. if you keep it light, easier.
Yeah.
Maybe that will not take the whole 23 minutes that, you know, you got these 1,000 articles talking about.
Yes.
That a context switch is
cost.
You know, maybe it costs that much because you're pissed off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. That's a good point.
Right.
Because a lot of times that interruption is something. It's like, oh my gosh. It's like, why is this like taking so long?
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, so I think a lot of things can, with a lighter attitude, with a kind of a benevolent, abundant mindset, can be easier. Okay. To switch some of these contexts, because, you know, because basically what we're doing is, when we're saying, I'm working in a silo right now, I need to focus, I can't have interruptions, I can't, you're narrowing like everything. I mean, yes, you need to focus on stuff so you can go deep into it. Yes. That's kind of a separate topic, but you're basically narrowing your kind of mind and heart and everything, so that you're saying, I can only focus on this small thing right now. I don't have time for anything else, which is kind of a scarcity thing to say. You know, I can't pay attention to this right now. Just another scarcity thing. And I think if we brought a wider mindset to this, you know, things can open up. Things, okay. You know, and kind of different ideas can flow differently. If we just, you know, say that, you know, I have the resources, I have the time, I have the knowledge, I've been doing this for 30 years. I'm not afraid. Let me just work through it. And I know that when I've been in a centered place, I write better code.
Okay.
I write better sentences.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I'm in a narrowed, panicky, I'm running out of everything place, my code isn't as good. My sentences aren't as good. I don't know if you've had similar experiences.
Yes, particularly with debugging. I find that like I do have to really center inside of that. So it helps, because of the clear thinking through the problem, moving from that, being interrupted by calls or interrupted by the bug itself. Like sometimes that's the interruption. The interruption is I'm working on something and something inside of the process stops, isn't working, isn't doing what I expect it to do. And so I like this idea of sort of reframing it, because what I usually have to do is just kind of like breathe, take a step back, breathe, and kind of get clear, conscious, so that I can approach it clearly. And I'd like to, you know, Socratic, like ask questions all the way through is the way that I approach it. But I think it would be even more effective if I took this approach that you're suggesting and sort of this reframing and looking at it as an opportunity to engage even this new relationship in community. I'm in community with the code, and I know it's not the same as being community with human beings, but it is like being in communication. So now even with the bugs, say for instance, reframe it as someone else is probably going through this or had this thing. If I fix this and I solve this, I'm going to post this online and I can save someone else that frustration.
There you go. Yes. Like the bug can be your friend.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's playing hide and seek with you. So, you know, you can have like a gentler relationship with it. And once you solve it, yeah, you are in community with other developers.
Yes.
Exactly. And how many times have other developers posting stuff on Stack Overflow saved you hours and hours, sometimes days,
immensely,
right?
Immensely.
So you are also in a cycle of contribution to help somebody else. So, yeah.
That's an excellent point. And I think it's a great way to close reframing and approaching this context, which and not giving and keeping it light. And I really appreciate that. So on that note, I hope that everyone watching or listening is really able to take this away in terms of how you approach the work that you're doing and how you can recontextualize the switching between the different tasks or interruptions so that you can improve both just your mental state and your effectiveness as you're doing it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the more we do this, the better we get at it and the more we can apply it to different contexts, including family contexts and other things, side businesses and so on. So, yeah, I think it's definitely worth trying.
Absolutely. Thanks, man, I appreciate you coming on. And I thank everyone for watching and listening. We really appreciate the support. Please like and share this if you think this is something that would help other people. We want to continue to do this, have these discussions. If you have any questions or topics you'd like us to talk about, please comment and send a response so that we can add it to our list of shows. Thank you so much for coming, and we will talk to you next time.
Thanks, cheers, everyone.